Matches are over. Here we go. Gleebs asks, I decided to go perma-hardcore on this account, so I'm starting a softcore multi. How do I set him up? What you want to do is you want to start amassing piles of things that you're going to need every round or every run-through, like dinghy planks, various chow mains, various drinks if you're going to do a no-path softcore. Weapons. What else? Maybe, you know, your familiar equipment. Your hat and your pants you should always be able to get from your bosses. Your crown of the Goblin King and Boss Bad Britches. You should always be able to get those. If you want to get one of the monocles, feel free. And, you know, that might be a good thing to do there. Oh, what else? Let's see. And then also you want to get stashes of things that you would need for the lair. So that if you start getting to them before Ronin, great. You can either pull them or get them. Or open the eye. Ooh, sorry. Or if you get to them after Ronin's finished, then you have whatever you need for the tower. And that's kind of what I did with Dark Eagle, was I had him as a character, and he had basically just been a power stat farmer, just to do it. And I ended up basically taking a lot of his meat and buying stashes of stuff. And when Ascension started, basically is what I started doing with him. It's just, okay, here we go. Here's some stuff. So, anyway. So, that's how I would set him up. And then, you know, for your skill class, you could either kind of go off the stat days to help speed you up, or go for specific skills for the LTS synergy, or just your basic character setup with your passives. It really doesn't matter which one you go with. Either one's just fine. So, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Crawdad asks, what's your take on the cannon? I have no idea. Oh, and the boxes. I'm assuming that the boxes question is in relation to the fact that the black velvets that all had one meat have vanished, and the plain brown wrappers with one meat have also vanished. So basically people who are making mass collections of boxes to themselves. Basically they're trying to cull down the database. I don't have a problem with them doing that, because, you know, it was kind of a usage that wasn't intended, and it was really kind of slagging down the database. So, you know, yeah, that's kind of what I think. I was like, you know, here's the thing. If someone sent me a meat with one, a package with one meat in it, to my characters, I kind of would get upset. I really don't care, but I'm not one of the people who had, like, you know, the collection of 80,000 black velvet boxes. You know, if you want the collection, you're going to have to pull a bit more meat into them. Deal. So, yeah. Rackham Rose asks, so you're a math teacher. Is there anything about the game or its mechanics that particularly appeals to those cool centers of logic in your brain? Really the only logic puzzle in here would be the light heavy door in the lair. That's a nice little logic puzzle. I've quit trying to solve it on my own though. Just like, yeah, what's the print? Okay, that's the number. Really, logic-wise, there's not much like logic puzzles. Because, you know, as Riffus said before, that why should they spend a long time putting a logic puzzle in the game when it's going to be spoiled within 24 hours of FSS being solved the first time? And I completely understand that, but I still think that they should put a couple more in there, because then it gives you a little bit of
thought process.
Well, I'm just having yawn issues now all of a sudden. I see a wave of two meat boxes, and oh god. At this point, we enter the enemy lasagna portion of the show, because enemy lasagna went ballistic with questions, because no one else sent questions to me at this time. So, If I don't give a name, it's enemy lasagna. Ask the question. Hey, what's the best way to get tiny plastic little Susie? Eat lucky surprise eggs and get lucky. Hey, what would you say is the best use for a tin-leaf clover? Well, some people keep them just for the skeleton key area. Some people keep them for whenever they need perfume. Some people need them for... the thousand meat adventure in the treasury. Those tend to be the times when, you know, some people use them to make sure they get spices. Not as much as an issue anymore. Spice loop. I guess the most people would use them for is to get a big rock to make their epic weapon early on in a hardcore adventure path. Assuming that you guys can get clovers, which luckily I did get clovers on day one of this run. So I don't care if it's never a clover day again during this run, because I have the required two clovers I needed. One for the big rock, and one for the skeleton key, because I'm lazy. Hey! Which is the best familiar to use on normal ascension, hardcore, and hardcore oxygenarian? Well, that answer is going to be pretty much the same for all three, and that would be either a hovering sombrero or a Cheshire Bitten / Symbol Playing Monkey, depending on what you have, and or a Blood-Faced Volleyball. Those are all stat gain familiars, and those are all pretty good, because you want to get your stats. And then you'll switch out to an item-gathering familiar when you really need to get items fast. Like, on my hardcore runs with Ashelon, I'm on the Bitten non-stop until I get to the hole in the sky, and then I switch over to my AD Demon, because, dear God, I want to get out of the hole in the sky as fast as I can, because with the way that character is, he's not built very well to survive a long time in the hole in the sky. He can survive, just not for long times of running and everything. So, that's about the only time that I really switch over off of my stat, but since I have my required stars, lines, and star charts, I am slapping it back on and going straight back to the castle to level up to 11. So, hey, what's better, amethyst, porpoise, or bacon stone, and what's the best thing to make from them? Amethyst would be the amethyst bracelet, which gives you a +5 melee damage. Porpoise would be porpoise necklace. Oh, it's a amethyst necklace. No, amethyst necklace. Porpoise would be a porpoise necklace because it gives you a moxie boost and a meat boost. And the bacon stone would be a bracelet because it actually lowers down the amount. It lowers down the magic points that you have to use to cast a spell. I usually tend to, in my hardcore runs, keep the necklace, the amethyst necklace, and the porpoise necklace, and then unless I'm a magic class, will sell my bacon stone bracelets, because I sometimes need the extra 500 meat. The last time I didn't get a porpoise at all, it was like one amethyst and four bacon stones. I'm like, gah! So, made my amethyst necklace, made my bacon stone bracelet, and oh well. Excuse me. I'm having issues today. Hey, is a ninja pirate zombie robot everything they say it is, or is it really just overstated? No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. A little familiar. Hey, what do you think is the best ultra rare? For what? I mean, if you want meat, Grail Beam Deep Dense Meat Gem. If you want items, they have no disc. If you want, you know, stats, the hockey sticks. It matters what you want it for. I personally want a meat gym, but that's just because I want a meat gym, and I want a freaking meat gym. I mean, I have a hypnotist. And I found that damn thing myself. Let me tell you, I was proud of finding that thing. I was like, oh my god. But, you know, I don't go rare hunting. I have other things to go do, such as try to get my ascensions done, and my plexi suit, and my tattoos. And for Doug, you get every skill there's dang in the game, and, you know, that's just kind of what I'm talking about. William Wallace asked, how does Gothy work? You put on Gothy, and every so often, it's kind of like the Canadian or drunk, it gives you a percent chance of firing off in chat, and if it does, then it makes you Gothy-type comments, which are great. But it's just like a percent chance of it going off in chat. And, you know, try the blatantly Canadian. Drink one of those one time. Get Canadian and then talk in the chat for a while. It's great. NicoChan314 asked, do you have any other collections I can pwn you in? I will point out that currently, as on public record, I'm beating you in stars again, finally. Knowing that you have more in your packages, which is fine, but also be aware that I've gotten some packages too. They don't tell me what they are, but most of the time, they tend to be stars. So I think I finally have caught up, and it's game on. I think that's kind of where we're at now, is I'm not playing catch-up anymore. I think we're going to do some leapfrogging, which is going to be fun. You know, who's leading which day this time? that'll be fun. I think it'll be fun to see who gets the 100,000 first. And then we'll have to do the massive, here, Parley, take a picture. Here, Parley, take a picture. that we talked about doing at some point. But right now, I've been waiting to do that for a while. Who's leading which run this time? That's about what it's going to be. It's going to be, okay, who got out of hardcore the latest and put all their boxes into their display case? I think that's what it's going to turn into, is who ascended, you know, the most recent. Because then the boxes will get bumped. And that's just kind of, you know, where I think we're going to be now. But yeah, I have caught up. I'm not 30,000 behind, so. Gobble Heathen no longer pines for stainless steel accoutrements, though not for wearing them. I actually want to go back and finish my outfits that I don't have. I have like 5 and 5 of 2 items and 3 of the rest, or 2 of the rest. And I may go back to those other 4 skills or classes and bring them all up to 5 so that I have 5 full outfits and then my 1 plexi outfit. I know I'm like a freak like that, but that's just what I want to do. Amos says, or asks, because as I recall, you played yourself some Zelda games. I have. I've been sitting with a poorly named set of chattering teeth for about a little over a week now. Any suggestions? Enamel. I don't know. I think my tooth name was pretty crappy too. What did I name my teeth? Chompers. Yeah, see, mine's pretty crappy. You know, I do like my hobo's name, which was the birthday present. Thank you, Lilith. Casper's drunken dad, Bob, the 1 pound spirit homo or hobo. Oh God! Not a homo. It's a hobo. Oh, fuck. I'm not good at naming familiars. Sorry. Spirit. Hey! Which class is best for attempting one-day ascensions? Well, you know, looking at the 3 who have done it, was in Postomancer, Sorcerer, and Postomancer, I would say a missed class. That'd be my guess. And also, you had to have 3 hockey sticks, which I'm pretty sure you don't have. Animus says, check his terrarium. And it's Gofflesby. Eh. Dark World Link. Gibdo. Moosh. Okay, at least you've all went with the Zelda titles there. Call him Tingle. D you have tingle anywhere else? Oh, you do have tingle. Why don't you just call it gel and move on? Oh, you have gel. Damn. I don't know! You don't have a Ganon yet, do you? You can, like, name him Ganon till you come up with a better idea. Let's see here. Hey! What's the deepest level you ever made it to on Farnsworthy Basement? Farnsworthy, I only really played with before Ascension came out. I don't think I've even set foot in there again since. But I think I was somewhere just over level 100. And then Ascension Countdown started, and I was like, oh crap, need to go stock up with stuff. And then within literally, I had no plans of going hardcore. And I'm going to blame this on Shadow's Light. But Shadow's Light gave some really good explanations and discussions on the forum, and we kind of talked back and forth about it, and I said, okay, there is stuff, because I was like, why do I want to do hardcore? Is there something that is there for me for hardcore that I can't get that's softcore, besides the skills on any of the, I mean, because if honestly, the only reason that I could do hardcore was for just the skills, would be hardcore permanent, I saw no point in doing that, because then I wouldn't have access to all my stuff. But then we said, yeah, there's things you can't get if you go softcore, but can go hardcore. And I'm like, oh, okay, I try it. And I love it. So, Shadow's Light fault that I am doing hardcore a lot with Ashland. John Blee did it with only two hockey sticks. And I thought I read somewhere that John Blee also didn't come off an Oxy run. It'll be interesting to see if John Blee's going to do a log like Mr. Bill did. Mr. Bill posted a whole video, like, in 9 pieces, which I've not sat down and watched yet. I need to watch that. Just see what he's doing. Or how he did that. Toothless! Why did this game so take over my life? It's the subliminal messages. And yes, there are subliminal messages. You just have to find them. Doppelheathen asked, Jick mentioned physical resistant monsters in one of the forum threads in possible connection with the level 11 plus content. How do you predict we'll be able to deal with said monsters? I think what you're going to be able to look at is that with the ability with spells to nitpick what type of damage you want that spell to give, I think what we're going to be basically required to now is that if I have a fire elemental that is immateria, or immaterial, that has no physical form, just like a ghost or something like that, that you swing your sword, you're going to miss. But if you can hit a cold spell onto the fire, then it'll damage it and kill it. Now, I think this will be one way then to lessen the strength of the LTS synergy situation, unless then you add that damage into your weapon, you know, by having an accessory or something like that. I think it'll be interesting to see how that is, but I think it might finally force players to focus. Ooh, I have a phone call. Focus on mysticality. I'm gonna hold on a second here. My wife's gonna get the phone, I hope. Because I don't want to answer the phone while I'm on radio. Come on. There we go. But I would say it may force a lot of us players to actually focus on our spells and learn how those spells work and all that stuff. That would be my guess. Hey, which is the best? The Gnomish Nomad, Little Canadia, or Degrassi Null inside when it comes to making meat, ascending quickly, and generally having fun with the game? Canadia, because it gives you stats, which lets you level faster, which gives more skills and abilities faster. The Gnomish area is good for 5 skills, or no, 6, 5, it's good for some skills and easily gotten drinks. Then the grassy knoll area is good for mushrooms. Five familiars? Only five? Yes, just five. And free meat car, in essence, adventure-wise. Let's see here. Hey! Judge me asking. Stop asking you all these questions. Yes. Life is a lemon. What, in your opinion, is the best item to zap with your wand? Well, early on, I was always zapping wolf mask to get furry pants, but I finally broke down and got the crafting skills so I can make my own pants now. So really, the only time I'll use my zapper is when I need, is when I'm short a letter or I'm short a key. There are some other items which might be good to zap. One I'm not going to talk about because it's kind of semi not really know how to get said item, but it is, but people don't pay attention. It's a familiar, but anyway, you can figure that yourself. I don't know. That's really about the only time. I would only really go for the wand when I needed a letter, a key, and the daily dungeon being a bitch, or a fence, because the cow hates me. I mean, hates me. Waits until level 6 when I have 8 turns left and can ascend that day as long as I don't get the cow. There are 6 other monsters it could choose from. Wham! Hi, here's a cow. Fuck you. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, Johnny did do a log. Sweet. Okay. Yay. Haplo's checking in with a very long discussion. Gleebs' NO multi sucks at the tower, went 0 for 6 on tower items, including the cow on the 6th floor. Nice. Let's see here. Gleebs wants me to talk about booze and hardcore. Where to get it? Well, let's see here. The boost giant would be your obvious place because you get stats there as well. But if you're not strong enough to survive there, then you can get booze in the barrelful barrels. And there are times I would do that because the booze wasn't always guaranteed in the boost giant for adventures. And if you find the right area, you get at least 3 drinks or 4 drinks if you're really lucky. And that would be enough to get you drinking for most of your day. You can also get a little whiskey from the gullet area. But I would say the booze giant is really your best bet, unless you want to try to deal with the clowns, which I really wouldn't. Because, I mean, menagerie level 3 is where you should be power leveling anyway, early on. So if you can do booze gathering while you're doing your power leveling, then hopefully you'll have enough then to not have to go back once you get to level 8 and 9 and 10. But I would say that'd be your easiest place. I mean, if you're really worried about getting booze, then you may want to go ahead and open up the gnomish area because of the bar, the microbrewery. But yeah, I mean, pretty much if you're not wanting to go there, then you're looking at 4 major areas. You're looking at the whiskey and the milk at the goatlet, you're looking at the drunken clowns, you're definitely looking at menagerie level 3, and you're definitely looking at barrel full barrels. That would be kind of my best stuff. Criswell asks, hey, would you read my question if all I did was start with, hey? I might start calling you the Fonz, but that'd be about it. Lilith, hobo. Not to be confused with homo. Hobo, discussed as versus the, quote, standard, unquote, bitten or sombrero. You know, Lilith, and this is going to be so bad. You got me the hobo, and I have not even played with it yet. So let me go read what this says. Let's see here. Acts like a volleyball, and when given booze, also acts like a starfish. So, Okay, since I've not played with this yet, how in the hell do you give it booze? Let's see here. If I equip the hobo, get them oxy, that'd be interesting. Okay, so I have it equipped. But how do you give it booze? Do you give it booze in? Oh, it give to hobo. Duh. Boy, that's so easily simple. When you have it equipped, you, there you go. Let's see here. It's a volleyball, which is good, and then can also give you back magic points if you keep it drunk. Well, looking at that then, what I kind of get the idea is that in terms of, you know, if you don't have access to a Cheshire Bitten or an ADD Demon or Sybil Playing Monkey or you know, or Coffee Pixie, then yeah, I think this is a great alternative to the Bloodface Volleyball. I mean, it's still not going to have the benefits of the Hovering Sombrero in the later areas, but, dear God, if you've got something that all I've got to do, especially in an Oxycore setting, I've got to, like, you know, give it booze every so often. Oh, that's great. Because I'm going to get my magic points back. And I may, if it wasn't level 1, I'd actually play with it. But I'm in Oxy run and I'm trying to speedrun. I've got stat days. Stat days coming up. It's already being called the poor man's bitten. Yes, half the price. So, I think it's a good one. I think that there will be people who will enjoy it better than a bitten, because it is one of those combinations. It's kind of like the pygmy bugbear shaman that people wanted, but there's a cost. You know, you got stats and item gains, but it costs your magic points. Okay, well, this one is stats and MP, but it costs you booze. And I am really glad to see things like this, because what Jake is doing, Jake and the group, Jake and the gang, is doing, is making players make decisions. What is important to me this time? What do I want more of at the expense of what else? You know, it's like those new Nobgoblin lab things. Do you want more item drops at the expense of stats and meat? Or more stats in the expense of items and meat, etc., so on. You know, and I haven't even played with those yet. And see, this is what I'm looking forward to with Dark Eagle, is once he's out of, like, his speed running, I can just stop and play with a bunch of those items and just see kind of how they work and get a real good feel for them. Because, you know, you can tell me what they do, but if I get a feel for it, then, eh. You know, I'm kind of like, I think I heard Jake say that it acts as a starfish for the number of adventures the booze would give you. Now, that makes sense, because you would figure that you would want the, you would want better adventures to give more stuff. Cool Hunter asks, Quizzle says, I see it as a way to use booze up when you're in Teetotaler. Oh, I see it as a way to use booze up in Oxygenarian. The question is, though, do I want to, you know, put away the bitten and put this on full time? And, see, but that's meat gains. I'll be losing, I'm gaining magic points at the expense of meat. And see, there's my decision. Do I want more meat, or do I want more magic points? Well, if I'm using my meat to farm my magic points, and if the rate is better gaining the magic points than how much I would have to pay for the meat, yeah, that makes logical sense. If it's not, though, however, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to wait to see the numbers fall out on that. What's the price per magic point gain through the starfish hobo versus buying soda water versus buying magical mystery juice. I think that's going to be the thing. And then also, how do you get the beer? I mean, where do you get all the booze from? You have to go farm it. You know, well, what about times when you don't have your or any booze, then what's the point of doing it then? So I think there's still some questions to be to look in there if it's better. The microbrewery had a buy hobo a cold one button. That would be cool, and then that would be so exploitable. Gleaves, that would so break the whole system, because then you're not making a decision, you're just buying everything and still getting everything you wanted with your own familiar. So I say no. Cool Hunter, there should have a store for the Peel Pell who had the McPhee's Grimoire of Hilarious Object Summoning, so you could trade the stuff for meat or items, like the Magical Ice Cube with a fly in it, can be traded for a Magical Ice Cube. No. The items are designed to be worthless. Now, we're going to talk about the Chattering Teeth, and we're going to talk about the Fake Hands separately in a second. But the items are designed to be worthless and or very, very rare to use. And if you're able to trade items for things that are useful, then it becomes a useful item. But the whole thing, the Grimoire, was an April Fool's joke. Now, Chattering Teeth, familiar. Yay, great. Fake Hand. You look at it, you go, that's worthless. You get an extra hand slot, and you lose a point of damage. But I'm sitting here looking at this, and once I found people were wanting them, I was like, why would you want, why would you want to put a whole chain of, oh wait, no damage, stasis. Which, you know, Zeno absolutely hates stasis, and so fake hands make him cry. But basically now, if you have a plentiful amount of fake hands, guess what? You can rip stasis to a new level. You can go pretty much anywhere and swing and miss and miss and miss and miss and miss. Not because you're trying to miss, just because you're missing. And you just keep doing that, and then you're like, okay, I'm tired. Lunging thrust smack, or throw the spell, and you're done. Or, you know, it dies because you saw a spell and speared it to death. But, yeah, the fake hands now make stasis insanely usable. I mean, insanely usable. Now, the bag of peanuts? Actually, not bad. They have saved my ass a couple of times. Rickett, I've got like 7 sets on Dark Eagle. I've got so many of these things. That's the thing. It's like, if you don't have a set of teeth, was it on Ash or Dark Eagle that I had a bunch of sets? I think it's Dark Eagle. What exactly is stasis? Stasis is when you go into a fight with very little damage, and the monster can't hit you, so you have enough moxie. But then you have on elemental, or not elemental, habanero and habiero saw spheres, and you can basically, it tries to hit you, it misses, but it hits your saw spheres and so gives you back hit points and magic points. And basically you stand there missing, and it's trying to hit you and can't, and it's slowly getting killed to death by your saw spheres until it dies. Well, what's happened is you've gained magic points and mystical points basically for doing nothing. I think it's Dark Eagle who has the Wine of Chattered Teeth. Yeah, send a mail if you want one from Dark Eagle, because I've had extras. And if you have a rubber emo rose, send it my way. Miss Quinn went out bump me, but oh well. I love you, Miss Quinn. Yeah. So anyway, so stasis is basically, and like I said, Zeno calls it a broken way of the game. He says that there's no reason to look at it, because when you have LTS synergy, you are spending magic points to do it. With stasis, you expend points to set up your shields, but within one good fight, you can have all your magic points back and still 9 turns left of your shields. So you have your elemental, not elemental, habanero, one gives you back magic points, one gives you back hit points. You just basically make sure that you can't get hit or damaged, and that you can't damage it. And there you go. So it replenishes your hit points and magic points, and then if you have like a starfish on, then it'll hit you as well. And that was kind of how stasis started, was that, well, what if we get to an area where neither of us can hit, but then the starfish just kind of kills it slowly and gets back mystical points. Well, somebody said, well, what if we put on this saw sphere, and then it still can't hit us, and we still can't hit it, but now it's going through the shields, and now we're getting back hit points, too, and magic points from this. So it's kind of how that worked. No, Miss Quinn, if you get a bunch, just give me one. Criswell. No. Bad Criswell. At this point, I am out of questions. I'm going to play a song. Hopefully, when I come back, I'll have a few more questions to finish off the show with. Questions go to Ashlon. That's part number 67689. Haplo is up very, very soon. 15 minutes, so won't be too many more questions to go, but I do need some questions, so since I'm in, this is Ashlon here in Stated Kingdom on Radio KOL, and I'm back and I have questions, yay, and once again, we start off with, hey, more questions, hope you don't mind. What's more useful, reagent food or chow mains? Chow mains are a better food than reagent foods. They give them a little bit more stats, a little less fullness, a little bit more adventures, but they're harder to get than reagent foods, which is why the give and take. So while a lot of the speed hardcore runners don't mess with chow mains, they deal with having possum entry, having softcraft, getting clovers, and getting grab bags. And then that gives you sausages and mushrooms, and you can eat chow mains, and you have your adventures to play for your teetotalers and no-path hardcore runs. And there you go. Chow mains are the food of choice for softcore if you don't have spectral pickles. If you have spectral pickles, eat your pickles. Neville and Jacoby, okay. Second accordion thief run. Hardcore. Took a break from the endless line of softcore runs. Not sure what to take. I was thinking fat loot. I stay predominantly teetotaler. Thoughts? Okay, I'm going to assume that you already have Moxious Madrigal. If you don't, that should definitely be a consideration. Your next two choices really should be Fat Loot or Polka Plenty, depending on what you have more problems with, either gathering items or gathering meat. When you get to an advanced situation, you're looking at more accordion thief skills, I would highly recommend that you consider doing Symphony of Destruction or Antiphon of... Antiphony, or whatever the hell it's called. Mainly the Symphony of Destruction. There was a question that I'm pretty sure I missed. When I did my Boots of Faerian run, did I get a Bartend in the Box? I don't think I did. I don't think I ended up trying to get the Beer Lenses. I think I just sucked up like 4 or 5 turns a day. And did it that way. There's one more that I know I missed. Is it about... Okay, if you did hardcore, it has to be like the level 13 elemental stuff. The elemental... blah, 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 blah. Oh, Seal Clover. Seal Clover, not softcore. Yeah, Fat Loot then. Somebody asked me a question about the level 13 the level 13 elemental skills, and I completely lost that. Hey, which trophy is the biggest waste of time, which is the biggest waste of meat, and which is the biggest waste of turns? Biggest waste of time would be Gordcore. Biggest weight of meat would be the Let My Balloons Go, whatever it's called. 99 Red Balloons, whatever that crap is called. And biggest waste of turns would be the Herb Brownie. Hey, what's the best thing to make out of clockwork? Well, there's a clockwork outfit, there's clockwork bartender and chef in the boxes. It's part of a NPZR. Yeah, there's good things to make there. The Tavern post quest. Do I ever go there? No. Nico, remind me what you asked me then, because I have lost it, and I thought I cut and pasted it over, and apparently it didn't. Ask me it again. No, I don't ever go to the Tavern Post Quest, because Ash is in Oxycore. Why would I want to go when I can't drink? And D is Speedcore running. And he's scripted. I mean, he does certain things, and as soon as this requirement is settled, boom, next area. Boom, next area. I don't go play around anywhere until I've actually killed the and freed the king, and whatever terms, I'll go farm for food parts so I can sell it. Oh yes, NicoChan314 asked me, is the elemental level 13 passive skills worth it? Actually, yes. they're very worth it for the daily dungeon. They're especially worth it for the Bat Cave, because you don't have to worry about funding elemental saw sphere. So that's less magic points that I'm using on those items that I can use elsewhere. So, and my last question, or maybe not, okay. Haplo is back, and she's having to do a quick reboot, so I'm going to have to wait. What the heck? I was wondering if it was worth getting in hardcore, since it is... it's worth... Those elemental skills are worth in hardcore, just not early on. And, yeah, get your big boat done before you get your first ascension. It's a pain in the ass. yeah, but I... And then, oh yeah, the Northern Exposure, that helps, because then you don't have to worry about elemental saws from the peak. So, yeah, those are the Sphinch, and the Cold is real good, and then the other ones help for daily dungeon stuff, and... love it when other radio stations come plugging in their show during my show. You don't amuse me when you do that. You really don't. So. Anyway. Northern Exposure plus Stainless Steel Slacks, you have a golden meat stack. Let's see here. I'm waiting for Haplo before I start answering this last question, which is by Claire DeLune, which I may start answering, because this is a good question. And it's not obvious. Please don't do this question over the radio if it's obvious. But I'm wondering about the seemingly lack of one-handed weapons, especially staff type for sorcerers to use with the cookbook. Thanks. No, you're right. There are still gaps in the one-hand, offhand, dual-wield, double one-handed system. And Jick and them are aware of that. They do know that there's gaps. And when it first came out, they basically said, look, we don't have everything in yet. And, you know, they did some stopgaps. I mean, if you go to the Armory and Legory, then you've got, you know, some relatively basic one-hand, two-hand ranged weapons that you can get until you have a filler. My best suggestion, honestly, if you're a softcore player, which actually should be a trophy for sitting at level 1. Yeah, sure. Let's see here. Where to clear? So are you hardcore softcore? You're softcore. You've not ascended yet. Oh, you need to ascend. But you're new. My suggestion, honestly, would be do one hardcore run. And if you're worried about always having the one-handed, and get a stainless steel shillelagh. Hot sex. I gotta have 30 muscle, and you beat the crap out of everything. And then you have whatever other weapon you want. But let me see here. Let me look at something real quick. I think, if I remember this right, stainless shields is a club. But, Yeah, that is kind of a problem. I mean, if you want to point out that specific situation with staffs and kickback cookbooks, then yeah, you might want to send that in as a question to Jake and Scully or Jake and Zeno. You might do better with the Jake and Zeno and Riff show on Thursday nights. That might be a little bit better. Okay, guys. Let's see here, real quick. Noah DiJacoby was a mistake for going elemental Saw Sphere. I was thinking maybe just taking the passive cold resistance instead. Take the elemental until you've got a chance to get everything else. And Jake said that on this last Thursday show that the one-handed staff issue would be taken care of soon. So, Claire, you have a valid point. It's being resolved soon, which may be why the can is going away. All right, guy. Shill is hot, hot sex. Guys, I'm out of here. It's been fun. Haplo is up next. Love to Haplo, or Facilibang kicks your ass, and probably half the other DJs as well. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.